But we got.
A Florida sheriff is slamming the juvenile justice system after a shootout with a 12 and 14-year-old. This happened in Volusia County. According to police, the teens fled from a group home, broke into a house, and fired hundreds of rounds. Sheriff Mike Chitwood said the system is broken.
He told detectives he knew they were cops when he shot at them because he wanted to harm them. There are the words of a 12-year-old. Nobody comes to work to shoot and kill anybody. We certainly don't come to work to get into gunfights with 12 and 14-year-olds.
It's unbelievable, this story. And, you know, the girl apparently was using a shotgun. The boy was using an AR-15, shooting at him from various places in the house. Come out, shoot at him, go back in the house. They don't want to shoot kids. Had gotten away from the juvenile home and had broken into this house where they found the fire. I mean, it's a crazy story. Absolutely crazy. 7:38 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Joining us now, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, Mike Wood. Mike, as always, welcome back to the show. What, you know, you see stories like this, and I mean, I don't know. How do you react to stuff like this as a cop?
You're glad you're not the one that's there that's having to deal with it. But, you know, the sheriff, Chitwood, and his department did exactly what any law enforcement agency would do. You got to look at the situation. They used an incredible amount of restraint for as long as they possibly could. But at the end of the day, when somebody is firing at you, that bullet doesn't care if it was a 6 or 7 year old or an 80-year-old that's firing that weapon. It can do the same amount of damage.
I mean, you could very easily have had multiple police officers shot or killed yesterday because of this. And as you say, the restraint used, the effort to de-escalate repeatedly, is heroic. I mean, it's in philosophy, we have this term called supererogatory virtue, which is when you go way above and beyond even levels of heroism to do something to self-detriment. And that's how I would describe what they did, which is, that's the story to me, is what the cops did right.
Yeah, you know, nobody wants to harm a child. That goes without saying. But obviously, that these two teenagers have major issues that they were dealing with, and they made it clear that they wanted to harm law enforcement. So that takes it to a different level, unfortunately.
Well, turning to things here locally, anything happened in the last day or two that we ought to know about, or maybe we haven't heard much about?
Well, you know, school is out, and some vehicle burglaries have already started again. We say this all the time, but we just want people to make sure they lock their cars at night. Most of these people are not breaking into vehicles. They're just simply opening unlocked doors and going and rummaging around. Our patrol officers have managed to make 3 arrests so far up on the north end of town. So just want to remind everybody to lock those doors.
And that problem gets worse in the summer, should I assume, because the kids are out, don't have homework, don't have school, all of that stuff?
Yeah, exactly. It's mostly juveniles that we end up arresting on offenses like that.
Okay. We also, of course, you know, with school being out, change in traffic, you no longer, you know, school zones, you know, that's a little bit of a change. But it does make me something that you and I sometimes talk about is, you know, the school resource officers. And I'm sure people have the question, what do SROs do when they're not protecting the schools in the summer?
A lot of them get reassigned back to patrol during the summer. And then there's maybe other things going on, such as patrolling the downtown area and things like that. So that's different every year for the officers. But I can guarantee you they're hard at work, even when school's out.
And are you guys going to get back to having bike patrols?
That's the plan. You know, again, we have a new chief coming in, so we're going to see what his opinion is on that. But we've had the bike patrols for a long time, and I see us continuing to do that.
Speaking of the new chief, he starts, what, June 14th? Do I have that right in my head?
Yes, that's right.
And we've seen some of the news reports that, and he'd said this before, so this is not exactly a surprise, but still, that he is at least open to or potentially supportive of a new kind of Citizens Police Advisory Committee. I know you talk to him all the time. And he's been in, like, either virtually, he's been in all your briefings and meetings, right? Like, he's a very engaged pre-chief, right?
Absolutely. He's on our staff meetings. He's there virtually and has been very involved for several weeks now.
And so, again, that issue of supporting a CPAC, a new version of the CPAC, that's something that he has expressed support for, something that you would expect to come forward when he takes over as chief? Or what's your kind of reaction to that story?
Well, that's my understanding. I haven't spoken to him directly about that, but that's one of those things that when he gets here, I'm sure he'll express his opinion on that subject.
All right, fair enough. And I understand that's his choice, not your choice. So, you know, no worries. I understand that. Hey, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is there are comments that come from people that are sort of witheringly misguided. I'll just put it that way. And I wanted to give you a chance to address it. I know the answer. We've talked about this many times, but when the when we were reporting on the bridge reopening, which you've been involved in because you've been stationed there, you know, whatever, we meant to report that you were there and some other people were there at either end, extra duty, off duty, in your patrol vehicle with the lights on, serving as traffic control. And people on social media were making the comment, well, gee, it must be nice to be able to take your work vehicle to your side hustle. And I just it makes me want to pound my head against the keyboard, honestly. But can you maybe just take a minute and explain why it is of value to the police department to have extra duty and have officers using their patrol vehicles and wearing uniforms in these situations?
Yeah, it's very easy. It frees up the patrol officer to answer calls. So officers have worked off-duty for many years. Their vehicle, their patrol car, is their office, and you have all the tools necessary to do your job in that vehicle. So it keeps the patrol officers free to go and answer calls instead of getting tied up on these other issues. So, yeah, we have to have that. It would be difficult to stand in the middle of the bridge without a patrol vehicle. That's just, you know, that's this doesn't make any sense at all. So, that's why we have a take-home fleet, so we're able to respond quickly. We have everything that we need when we respond. And, again, it's been that way for many years, and it's worked out very well.
I mean, it's a force multiplier. It's a visual deterrence because you have more cops out visibly on the street. You're quicker to respond to the problem areas because you're already there. I mean, it's amazing to me what people will find a reason to complain about. And I know, Mike, you have often been on the bridge station for extra duty, and you're very closely connected to this. The running joke when the bridge was reopening was, what's your over-under on first major accident? As far as I know, please tell me if I'm wrong, there haven't been any yet, but you tell me, how is traffic working on the new bridge?
Well, you know, it's even when the old bridge was there and we had two lanes going each direction, that bridge would get backed up on busy days. So that's going to happen in this situation. Even when it goes to four lanes, we're still going to have some backups on heavy days. That's one of the reasons why the bridge is being replaced, because Pensacola is growing and a lot more people are here. So we're going to have those backups. But I can tell you, since officers and Gulf Breeze PD and the Florida Highway Patrol has been assisting as well, since officers have been on that bridge 24 hours a day, I'm not aware of any crashes yet. So that kind of tells you what you need to know as far as, you know, people are slowing down. Most of them are obeying the speed limit, and we have not had any incidents. And I do believe that's because of the presence of the police on the bridge.
And how long is that going to continue? When we talked last week, you gave me the impression that maybe it was going to be for a week or so. Do you guys have a plan yet for when the reduction in active forces is going to go?
I don't believe they're going to take the officers off the bridge at least until it's four lanes each direction, and then it could go even further. So we haven't been told exactly when that's going to stop.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, that's all around. That's good news. I will take it. Hey, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about is you and I, and I've talked with you, with the sheriffs of both counties as well, with Chief. One of the big issues that we're facing in policing in Florida is with the shift in the marijuana laws for medical use, people can have it. That's meant that the dogs who are trained to sniff marijuana, it's a problem because you no longer have an alert for marijuana as probable cause to search a car because the dog can't tell legal versus illegal. And so you're having to, you know, get new dogs because you can't untrain a dog to alert on marijuana. How is PPD adapting to this? How is that working for you guys? And are you having any issue getting new replacement canines for the ones that are retiring?
Well, we're gonna replace those as they retire, like we normally would. It doesn't have anything to do with the marijuana. But if one of our canines hits on marijuana and it's legal, then obviously there's not going to be any charges there. So there's not a real big issue with that.
Oh, okay. So you guys haven't really had much, or you know, haven't made the choice that there's a problem particularly with that here.
No.
Okay.
You know, if they hit on a vehicle and there's something legal there, then no charges. But if they hit on the vehicle and there's 10 or 12 pounds in there, then, you know, of course, there will be charges there. So it all depends on the situation.
All right. Very good. You guys had a cool event yesterday, right?
Yeah. At Baskin Robbins on Bayou, we had about just over 100 young people. I don't want to call them kids because they were from all different ages, show up and spend some time with officers. Normally we do coffee with a cop, but we decided to do it with ice cream. So it was a great time.
Outstanding. I love that community engagement. I love seeing you guys involved with the public like that. Last thing, we always talk about a myth. My question is, and I don't know if it's a myth, it might be true, and it's typically TV does a certain thing. We were watching a show where they did a lineup, you know, of the perpetrator. And they brought the five guys in, and, you know, the person behind the one-way mirror says, oh, that guy or whatever. Does that really happen? And if so, how hard do you work to produce guys or girls who kind of look like each other so it's a real test of identification, not just a vague, you know, well, the guy with the beard and everybody else is bald?
Well, I can tell you I've been doing this since 1987, and I've never seen one done in person like that. Maybe they did it in a long time ago, but that's just not practical anymore. What we do now is we use photographs, and which is much easier. You don't have to gather up people. You can use photographs to where they are similar. The person looks similar to what you're, you know, to have all six of them, nine of them, how many you got together. So that's how it's done now. It's just with photographs.
So the lineup, the one-way mirror, the dramatic mood lighting and all that, that just doesn't happen?
No, that doesn't happen.
Of course it doesn't. Is there anything cop shows do that's true? It's amazing. Well, that's why I like to ask you these things. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, you know I super appreciate your time, attention, information, and obviously what everybody in your department does to keep us safe. Keep up the good work, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.